Artsville, the happening town where art abounds. Artsville, from Asheville town where art abounds. Artsville, feeling mountain high and inspiring North Carolina. That's where you'll find us, amazing artists and designers. Oh yeah, Artsville, from Asheville.
Welcome all you artists and art lovers out there. Today, you're listening to the Artsville USA podcast, and it comes to you from Asheville, North Carolina. I'm your host, Louise Glickman, and I'm inviting you to hear from my friend and colleague, Candace Riley, from the North Carolina Glass Center, which is also right here in town, and soon to have a second location in Black Mountain, which is just outside of Asheville proper. So if you love crafted glass, we'll be right back after our intro from our arterial friend and colleague Dan Ubick at Blue Danube Productions and the Conduit Music Podcast. Louise here back with you. I'm your podcast host at Artsville, where we celebrate American contemporary arts and craft from Asheville, North Carolina, and beyond. Our monthly podcasts introduce you to world-class movers and makers, their art, their craft, and most importantly, their very unique careers. You can get to us from our website, artsvilleusa.com, and we're also available on your favorite major podcast channels. So first, I'd like to share some great news about Artsville's growth and some new opportunities. You already know that we serve artists in Western North Carolina. And you probably know that we are especially known for our world-class arts and crafts in the Blue Ridge Mountains. We're one of America's greatest art towns, and I would mention small art towns getting bigger. But we have learned through our Artsville programming that many, many more buyers are buying online. So we give you that opportunity as well. When you go to our website, you can select artists you like, and you can link directly to them to buy their art. We do this to help artists build their business, and we do not take commissions on their sales. It's our gift to them in hopes that they will reinvest in marketing and becoming what we call artpreneurs. But something new, if you don't like to buy art virtually, now we will take you on a tour to visit artists in their working studios. So if you have any plans to come to Asheville, and you're going to hear more about an exciting new Chihuly exhibit at the Biltmore Estate, which might even encourage you more to visit soon, you can contact us for either a half-day or a full-day studio tour. We have a partnership with Sherry Masters at Arts Connection. She is an arts insider and a former longtime gallery professional, and she knows all the best craftspeople and artists in our area. The best thing about this tour, besides Sherry and the artists, is that you can choose who you want to see. So if you are a collector or an artist or an enthusiast in glass or metal or wood, paper, mixed media, whatever, Sherry has a stable of talent in various mediums so that you can see what you want to see and meet who you want to meet. We invite you to come for the Chihuly exhibit at Biltmore. We have a specially designed Glass Plus One tour, and we're going to hear a lot about glass now from our wonderful Candace. And Candace is the executive director of the North Carolina Glass Center. This is Asheville's largest public access glass studio and gallery, and it's located in the River Arts District. Its mission is to educate, explore, and collaborate in all forms of glass. And this important organization brings excitement to seeing glass really start to finish. All this is now done in their River Arts District location, but now we're going to soon hear about their new location in Black Mountain, which is close by. Candace Riley, blow your horn, because Black Mountain is a truly special arts town. And I don't know anything about your second location, so I look forward to learning more about your expansion. But first, I'd just like to delve a little deeper into your background. You know, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do as executive director of this North Carolina Glass Center that we love so much.
Wonderful. Thank you for the introduction. And it's great to be with you, Louise. We've known each other for several years, mainly through the arts world, through the museum, Blue Spiral Gallery, and we always share really wonderful connections about the amazing location that these Blue Ridge Mountains are and what an amazing place it's been for decades now for artists to grow. I moved here, 11 or 12 years ago now, and immediately got involved with the art world and working with artists. I've been an arts advocate for over 20 years now. And this has definitely been the most exciting place I've ever lived. And it's also been a place where I've just been able to use my talent, which is building community-based programs, working with artists, mentoring, and making sure that artists are set up for success, especially if they want to be independent artists, where they aren't working a second or third job, but they're really focusing on their craft and able to make every day and show their work in galleries and museums or wherever they want to be.
So that's really interesting. I actually didn't know the community networking aspect of your career. But I do know the history of glass here in this area. Glass is, pardon the pun, very hot right now. It is really growing in people who want to see it and people who want to buy it and people who want to learn to do it themselves. But I think a lot of this comes from the notoriety of the Penland School of Crafts, which is right here in our mountains, and in the founding of the contemporary glass movement. So besides the master, Chihuly himself, the stories of his first mentor, Harvey Littleton, who was known as the father of the contemporary glass movement, led to a string of many famous glass artists here. Well, two of these are actually his son, John, and his wife, Kate Vogel, whose work is really prized and who is created right next door to John's father's studio. So can you tell us what this means in terms of historically the craft movement here in Asheville and why people who are interested in glass want to come to Asheville?
Absolutely. We really can't talk about this area, which is a glass mecca, without acknowledging its history, which started with Harvey Littleton. And he was a ceramics professor originally, and in the summer of 1962, and then the following summer, ran a series of workshops at the museum in Toledo. And this was really an experiment that I think it was timely internationally as well. Glass was only created in industrial settings up until that point. And Harvey, a student of ceramics, said, okay, we moved away from industrial ceramic settings. Can we do this with glass? And so he was invited to come out and try it. And he and another gentleman named Dominic Labino, there were several people involved in this at the time, but the two of them really pioneered this and said, okay, let's see if we can use furnace equipment and melt glass and create independent glass studios where artists can go without having to access these previous factories where glass had been created. And then it spawned this first generation of glass artists, including Dale Chihuly. And one artist in particular, Mark Pizer, moved here in 1965 and became the first glass resident at Penland. So that was 1965, 3 years after these experiments in 1962. So the glass movement just took off. It was like someone lit a match and, you know, the fire started. And during that first decade, the exploration that happened after that was just phenomenal. It was in the late 1970s that Harvey moved to Spruce Pine and set up his own studio with intentions to retire. But he really ended up expanding his practice and studying vitrographs, figuring out how to print on glass. And so many artists, first, second generation glass artists, came out and just continued learning from him. Artists like Dale Chihuly again. And it just grew from there. It just kept growing. People just kept expanding this collaborative form of art.
Well, I have some funny stories about this. One is I've been fortunate enough to go into Harvey's studio with one of his other children and happened to have a couple of vitrographs. But John and Kate and I have been friends for a while, and I knew about them before I even came to Asheville 20 years ago. I was a consultant and a presenter at the Corning Museum up in upstate New York. So John told me that his mother was the first person who ever cooked in a Corningware dish.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that amazing?
I hadn't heard that. That's great.
So anyway, I mean, I was so overwhelmed. That museum is one of my absolute favorites in the whole world. And I got so enthralled about the glass blowing that they offered to give me, I guess, as a perk as a presenter, a little private class on how to blow glass. And I never forgot it. But what I learned about it is, A, it's complicated. B, it's intimidating. And C, it takes a lot of equipment. So, you know, I'd like our listeners to keep that in mind if you don't know a lot about how glass is made. And I'm going to say art glass is made. So when people come to the North Carolina Glass Center, how do you introduce them to A, what they're seeing, and B, what they might want to do more of?
Great. That's exactly why we exist. You know, we exist for artists because it is expensive. It is expensive equipment, and it's rare for artists to be able to have their own hot shops. And, well, flame shops are more accessible, but hot shops in general. But we train the public. If anyone is interested in learning glass, how to make it, we have a series of classes that run every week. You can come in and start with a 30-minute make your own where you work with a trained artist who instructs and guides the process. And if you want to stick with it, you can stick with us because we have more advanced classes that move into even mentorship and private lessons once you get to that point.
Well, I think I've read that you have over 50...
Over 70 now. Yeah, it's been a busy few years.
Oh, my goodness. I guess I'm reading old press. But wow, 70 artists. And of course, you can buy this in your gift shop. Your
That's right.
Gift shop. So I was particularly interested in learning about glass on the go. I think this is really such an innovative program. Can you tell me about that?
Absolutely. Furnaces come in different sizes, big and small. And we purchased a small mobile glass unit during the pandemic for obvious reasons. Again, glass is a collaborative form of art. It was the perfect source of germ spreading. And we had to get really innovative in our approach. And so we got a mobile glass unit. We were taking it out to different breweries and locations all around town so that people could continue seeing the glass process. And it has only grown in popularity over the years. In fact, this past year alone, I think we've, October alone, we've been, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 different locations with it. And we'll be using it quite a bit in March, even at Biltmore.
Well, that's where I'm going next. We had a remarkable few months with the Chihuly exhibit that was here all over the grounds of the Biltmore Estate a few years ago. Mm-hmm. It seems like yesterday, but I think it's probably been 3 or 4 years.
2018, yeah.
3 or 4 years, yeah. Not double off. But anyway, now Julie's coming back, but this is going to be different, and it's going to run through January. So for you out there who are planning trips, the Biltmore Estate is the home of the Vanderbilt family, and it's our number one tourist attraction. It's the largest privately restored and absolutely gorgeous home in America. But there are also growing exhibits and sort of interactive opportunities and activities. And I'd like to know how you're going to be involved, but also I'd like to know how this exhibit's going to be different than what we've seen before.
Sure. This exhibit is actually going to be in an exhibition hall. And one of the things, we kind of set a high bar in leading up to the 2018 Chihuly exhibit. And if you remember, we had what was called the Summer of Glass, which was really cross-county lines programming with over hundreds of glass artists and organizations who host glass programs. We all came together and made about 6 months of programming that celebrates the history of glass in this area. And people listened. And it was really a wonderful time of collaboration. It allowed us to have what are now lasting relationships amongst artists and different places of exhibition. And so this time, we're just looking forward to being involved with Biltmore. Biltmore has been reaching out to different community partners, to glass artists, to us at the North Carolina Glass Center. We'll take our mobile unit out there maybe more than once, but we're definitely going to be out there for the first week opening of the exhibition. So from March 20th till 26th, we'll be out there with a mobile unit, blowing glass, selling ornaments and whatever else we have in our little mobile gallery table. And then they are also featuring several local glass artists in their real retail spaces. So really kind of embracing this community of glass artists and putting them on full display right next to the master himself.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That is going to be fabulous. I mean, I've looked at our art tour offerings for glass artists, and they're some of the best known that we have beyond the Littletons. The Bernsteins are another family, mm-hmm. Billy and Katie and Alex. I mean, these are world-renowned artists, but also people like Hayden Wilson and Carl Powell, who does fabulous stained glass, which is so important to our area because we are also the center of the arts and crafts movement in mm-hmm. America. And I love the fact that Biltmore is bringing people like them. I don't know if they're going to be involved, but this is so critical because it provides exposure. Artsville is very dedicated to showing artists how to not only use the platforms that expose their work, but also to show them how to do these things themselves, how to create a strategic planning process for both their business and their marketing and all of that. So the more the community gets involved in an exhibit like this, the more it sticks. Right?
Oh, that's right.
And so I'm just guessing, but having had Chihuly here in 2018 and this explosive growth in your programs, is that what's led to the new location in Black Mountain?
I think so. I mean, we can't underestimate the power of tourists who come through either. I think we have an experience at the North Carolina Glass Center, and other people want to experience that too. And so any marketing we do is really geared toward bringing people in our doors and learning about who we are and then participating. But we're bursting at the seams. If you come to our River Arts district location, you'll walk in and you will see, you know, two glory holes with two artists working at a time and lots of people running around and a gallery that's not big enough to accommodate over 70 artists. And I have 14 staff and we're all sharing two offices. And our programming just continues to grow and artists keep coming with needs. And we want to grow to take care of all of that. We want to make sure that everyone who walks in our door, especially our artists, are getting what they need from the resources that we provide.
So who first had the vision to do this? How long has this been in the works, and why Black Mountain?
Well, that's a good question. In 2018, I joined the board at North Carolina Glass Center. And over a series of years, especially coming out of the pandemic and realizing the influx of needs for the center, we knew that we needed a new space. We thought that meant getting a new space in River Arts District, but that is out of the question in terms of affordability, especially as a nonprofit. We're limited on funds, and we want to make sure that most of our funding is going back to the artists and providing opportunities and funding for them. And I want to say it was in 2022, a gentleman named Todd Phillips and his wife, Kay Zusman, who you're nodding. I know that you know them. They've become iconic in our little town. Todd himself was just kind of a glass artist by, I don't know, not a serious glass artist, but just by hobby. And he came to the Glass Center and started using the studio and making art. And he said, wow, you guys need new equipment. You need a new space. I want to help. And over the coming months, you know, he found a space for us in Black Mountain and just gave us a great gift that led to a capital campaign, which will open in August of this year. So it'll really expand our space. It'll be state-of-the-art equipment, 4 glory holes instead of 2, you know, a full functioning flame shop, flat working shop, a kiln room, a cold shop, everything that you need for a glass studio. We even just bought a neon kit. So we're going to bring an artist in to do a neon making workshop.
Well, that is so cool. And, you know, I thought it was Black Mountain because that too is historic to our art scene. Mm-hmm. That was the home of Black Mountain College. And I just went to an exhibit a few weeks ago at the Black Mountain College Museum, mm-hmm. which is downtown. But some of the most famous artists in the world came here, particularly to escape the Nazis during mm-hmm. World War II. And so you've got everybody from Rauschenberg to Buckminster Fuller to John Cage to Merce Cunningham. I mean, what a amazing group of talent. And they also were instrumental to building this as a home for artists and a place for artists to build their considerable fame.
That's right.
So I think that's a fitting location.
Yes, we're overwhelmingly aware of that history. And in fact, the building that we're renovating and adding onto for the new Glass Center was built in 1933, which is the year that Black Mountain College started. And so, like I said, we're very aware of that. There isn't a strong connection to glass there, but there is a strong connection to creatives in that environment and building it up as an arts town.
I think that's perfect. Mm-hmm. It's very fertile. Mm-hmm. And I love that. You know, I'm thinking about Todd and his wife and the generosity. But just on an ongoing basis, what it takes to support an operation like this. Mm-hmm. So I know you must have some income-generating programs, yes?
Yes, we do. Yes.
Okay. How does that work?
Our classes are income-generating. You can take, like I said, numerous classes in the hot shop or the flame shop throughout the week. Our gallery is income-generating. We split commission with artists in that space. And I do a lot of grant writing. So we have some robust outreach programs for veterans and youth and professional development programs for artists. We started a BIPOC artist residency last year and in our second year. And it's just been, in fact, you need to come by the studio until March 15th. We have this amazing artist, Jason McDonald, who's working in the studio creating work. But those grant programs allow us to fulfill the heart and soul of our mission.
Wow. I'm going to come because we have shown other of your glass artists when we had our gallery down mm-hmm. in the River Arts District. And it was a great experience. He was young and he did a great job. And actually, what's very difficult about your job and mine is the herding of cats. when you need something on a deadline to tell their story, it's not always easy to get it. But he knew what he was doing, and he was very devoted. and a very talented young man. So I would like to come over and meet Jason.
Sure. Yeah. That's one of the spirit of glass artists in general is generosity with their time. They love to demonstrate. They love to explain. We have an artist, Mark DeShields, who uses a process called fuming, which is when he works on the torch and he takes precious metals, even silver and gold, and he heats them. And when they heat on the glass, they turn into color, mostly pinks, but iridescent qualities. Yeah, artists just have an overwhelming sense of generosity when they're in the studio and they want to just show you how amazing the work is and how you can, you know, stretch a piece of cane that started as a glob of hot glass on the end of a pole into like needle thin pieces. So
I think I watched the show about glass that was on television.
Blown away.
I was blown away. Mm-hmm. I could not get over it. And I probably know a little bit more than most about this, but I've followed it very carefully and watched the incredible changes. I was at the Speed Museum in Louisville, and I've been there several times before. Well, their glass collection, I didn't know anything about, but I saw all new kinds of methodology and processes that were being used. And it's totally fascinating. So I would encourage anybody who comes here to come and visit you, whether it be in the Rad or out at Black Mountain. Is there anything else that you would like to share with us beyond, of course, how we can reach you? Our audience can reach you.
Oh, sure. We just launched a new website this past month, which was a labor of love the past few months. We created it from the ground up, basically, and it includes a full online shop, bios on all of our artists, their product that is in our galleries. And if you want to do online shopping at 2 a.m., you can get on our website or any time of day and browse through each of our artists' works and purchase them from the comfort of your home, which is exciting for us, especially for our more national supporters who can't get to Asheville as often to buy handmade glass objects. And it's a fun website to browse through. You can sign up for classes online through there so that you don't have to call in or send emails to sign up for classes. And yeah, just kind of look forward to the Black Mountain space and coming to visit us out there.
Well, tell our audience what your web address is.
Our website is ncglasscenter.org. And we also have social media handles, Facebook and Instagram, that are NC Glass Center.
Okay. So I hope there'll be a lot of interest from this podcast. I'm going to come over and meet Jason. I'm going to be down in the Rad tomorrow.
Oh, great.
And Candace, I'd love to see where you landed. We've known each other from the arts community here, and I just think they're lucky to have you and your experience, a good networker and a community activist, and very passionate about this, as am I. So I think that's why we hit it off so well when we first met. So thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Louise.
So in closing, I want to explain that Artsville uniquely markets creativity to the world. Yes, we have a global audience of over 10,000 plus subscribers. And we try to focus this on these talents here in Western North Carolina. They want to show, sell, tell about their work, and they also want to learn. So they come to us for ideal business practices and advice on how to sell. Our distinctive blend of Asheville's written and digital content includes a broad range of programs and activities. We mentioned the virtual gallery of artists, and of course, we have our monthly podcasts. But there's a very, very fulfilling newsletter that comes out once a month, and our tours we mentioned. But we have fun, big events, and we invite you to share that all with us. All you have to do is leave us your email. There are lots of people who make this possible and some very special friends and supporters. So the first and foremost, this month is Art Connections, our new partnership with Sherry Masters. And we hope that you will go to her website, AshevilleArtTours.com, or to our website, ArtsvilleUSA.com, and learn about these specialty tours. Also very new is our association with Mountain BizWorks and Craft Your Commerce. We have training programs for a hand-selected group of artists, both in the fall and the spring, for our virtual Gallery of Artists cohort. And along with all of the marketing training comes learning about how to be a strong business, and that's in the Craft Your Commerce basket. So they will be doing online classes for us as a benefit to our VGA group. Our first partnership and still going strong is the Ferguson Family YMCA in Candler. That's where Artsville is actually homed, and there are no galleries out there. So in order to try to bring attention out there, we show work from our virtual gallery of artists right there among the treadmills and the climbers and everything else. But the good news is everybody has to pass that wall on the way to the bathroom. So it's well seen by their 3,000 members. And that has generated other interests like our art talks or our workshops. We're doing a photography workshop there to get people ready for graduation and weddings. Ken Katara, our special friend, will again be doing marketing training for us to our virtual gallery artists. In our first cohort last fall, everyone said that the best takeaway was A, networking, and B, Ken, who is a well-known national artist, a former educator, and a great presenter. And it has gotten them ready to do their own marketing to build their careers. And finally, we'd like you to meet Arterial, which is our new parent company that makes us a nonprofit so that we're able to raise enough money to continue to expand and build our programming. So we urge you to meet us and our community around the world at ArtsvilleUSA.com. Please tag, share, like us at Instagram and Facebook. And know that we thank you for joining us for this and other monthly podcasts. We'll be back next month. This is Louise Glickman, your host, signing off.
Thanks for listening to the Artsville Podcast. Please be sure to like this episode, write a review, and share it with your friends on social. Also, remember to subscribe so you get all of our new episodes. Artsville is produced by Crew West Studio in Los Angeles. Artsville is property of Arterial Incorporated, a 501c3 nonprofit arts organization on a mission to amplify art and artists in the world. Our theme music was created by Dan Ubick and his team at Dan Ube Productions. Artsville is recorded at Echo Mountain Recording, edited by We Edit Podcasts, and hosted by Captivate. Thanks again for listening to Artsville. We'll be back soon with another inspiring episode celebrating American contemporary arts and crafts from Asheville and beyond.
Artsville, Artsville, the happening town where art abounds. Artsville, Artsville, from Asheville town where art abounds. Artsville, Artsville, feeling mountain high and inspiring North Carolina. That's where you'll find us, amazing artists and designers. Oh yeah, Artsville, from Asheville.